Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and ever, the ages of all ages, amen. I'm sure you've asked this to somebody once in your life, or someone has asked you this question sometime in your life. Are you hungry? You might even be feeling hungry right now. I mean, it's time for breakfast soon, and people are, their stomach's starting to, you know. And that's normal, right? It's a normal human reaction to hunger. This question is a regular, repeated question. For the rest of our life on earth, we're going to hunger one time or another, for one reason or another, whether for breakfast or lunch or dinner or for a snack or for friendship or for care or for kindness, we hunger. This hunger is a normal reaction, and it's meant to make us think of something greater that we hunger for. This is a painting done by an artist to depict what happened to this prodigal son when he left his father and lived in prodigal living and found himself basically living on the street, surrounded by swine, destitute, having nothing, and still hungering. Now at this point, he was hungering for something different. Now he realized what it was that he was hungering for all along, and what it was that he forgot about, that he had in the first place. The same thing applies to the older brother. For some reason, they both hungered. One of them stayed home but still hungered. Another one took his father's goods, thinking this would satisfy his hunger, and still hungered. So we see this as a pattern in society, in the world. The gospel, like we say, like St. Paul tells us, these words were written for our learning, so we can benefit from them. So hunger is a normal thing, but what are we going to do about this hunger? What is it ultimately about? Father Alexander Schmemann says, man is a hungry being, and you've heard this, I'm sure, before, but he is hungry for God. Behind all the hunger of our life is God. All desire is finally a desire for Him. Every time we eat, every time we drink, every time we do anything, that desire for something is because we're hungering for greater things. Always, at all times. He goes on to say in another passage, another quote, for one who thinks food in itself is the source of life, eating is the communion with the dying world. It is communion with death. Food itself is dead. It is life that has died, and it must be kept in refrigerators like a corpse. I mean, think about it. How many foods we buy, we have to put them in the fridge or the freezer to keep them, right? We call them perishable goods or non-perishable goods for a reason. So there's nothing wrong with food. But if our total energy and focus is that we're going to be living because of food, we're sadly mistaken. We have no idea. This is just stuff that is going to sooner or later decompose. But it's again a choice of how we live with this food. St. Paul says, whether you eat or drink, do all for the glory of God. Whatever you do, when you receive the Eucharist, receive Him with thanksgiving. Father Schmemann says, the only real fall of man is his non-Eucharistic life in a non-Eucharistic world. What does that mean? In other words, that man, humanity, has forgotten to be grateful for what they have, taking it for granted. So we're never satisfied because what we have is taken for granted. And therefore, we're always seeking something else. We're always seeking, oh, it used to be better back then. Or, I can't wait for this to happen. Like we've said before, this is the devil's constant trap for humanity, taking us in that pendulum or that yo-yo of the past and the future. regrets, shames, guilts, or nostalgic memories of the past that is gone and forgotten, or fears, doubts, and anxiety about the future. But we can never be here and now. We cannot enjoy now because we're not in the now. We're not here. The younger son couldn't wait to leave his father's house and experience life. The older son stayed home, never experienced his father, never experienced the love of his father. St. Ambrose gives us a really beautiful contemplation or commentary. He says, it was not a famine of fasts, but of good works and virtues. That was the famine that happened for the young boy. What hunger is more wretched than a famine for good, in other words. He says, certainly, whoever departs from the word of God hungers. If you depart from the word of God, you hunger. Notice how last week, the first thing the Lord responded to the devil was what? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Whoever leaves treasure lacks. The younger son took his father's goods, but left the treasure at home. The treasure wasn't his father's goods. The treasure was his father. Whoever leaves treasure lacks. Whoever departs from wisdom is stupefied. Whoever departs from virtue is destroyed. It was fitting that he begins to be in need, because it says he began to be in want, because he abandoned the treasures of wisdom and the knowledge of God and the depths of heavenly riches. He began to want and to suffer starvation. Why? Because nothing is enough for prodigal enjoyment. He who does not know how to be filled with eternal nourishment always suffers starvation. We constantly starve. Nothing can satisfy us on earth because we are not earthly beings. Say, well, we're human beings. Yes, but you're human beings created for eternal life. So as long as I keep that in mind and I live with that mind, then that's going to be perfectly fine to lead me towards the kingdom. But if I live for here and for now, I'm always going to suffer starvation. The older son, do you remember what the older son said to his father? When he saw that his younger brother came back and his father welcomed him home and they had a big celebration and they killed the fatted calf. What did he say to his father? He said, all these years I've served you or worked for you. A relationship of boss and servant, not father and son, in his mind. Not in the father's mind, in his mind. What did he say? You didn't even give me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. You know what? Had he given him 1,000,000 goats, it still wouldn't have been enough. You know that? Give him 1,000,000,000,000 goats would not have been enough. He would have never been satisfied. Because satisfaction cannot come from goats. It's never going to come from goats. He didn't realize that. That's why he told him, son, all that I have is yours. Everything I have is yours. But is the stuff I have that matters to you? Is it not the relationship you have with me that is ultimately more than anything else you could have on earth? Isn't that what David meant when he said in the Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? If the Lord is mine, I shall not want. Kind of like that famous passage you remember from the book of Exodus when Moses leads the people of Israel out of Egypt. And he asks God, Lord, are you going to come out with us? Because if not, let's stay in Egypt. I'd rather remain a slave in Egypt with you present amongst us than free out there without you. It's the constant reminder of the same reality. That's why the psalm says, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. He satisfies the longing soul. Is your soul hungry? Are you hungry? Are you hungry yet? What have you been hungering for? Breakfast? Coffee? Something non-vegan? Is that what we're hungering for? Give you 50 days after Easter? Still won't be enough. By the 49th day, I'm going to say, oh my goodness, we're starting to fast the apostles' fast in a couple of days. It's never going to satisfy you. If some people think that that's the satisfaction. Some people are targeting Saturday, May 4th in their mind. waiting for the clock to strike midnight, whether they're still at church or went home to heat up the food. They're targeting that moment where, you know, when the clock strikes 12 and it's Sunday, May 5th, when it's Easter Sunday, that they think they will be finally satisfied. If that's what you're waiting for, I'm sorry for you. I feel sad for you. I feel sad for anyone who lives this way, because you're never going to be satisfied. Not with a million Easter Sundays or a million Holy 50s after Sunday. Pray for that concept to seep in to everyone in this world, so that whether we eat or drink, we're grateful to the Lord. Whether we do anything, we're grateful to the Lord. Whether we are fasting or feasting, we're grateful and thankful to the Lord. Whatever it is, whatever state we are, to be content, like St. Paul says. Say, Lord, let my soul hunger for you. Because that's what it means. This beautiful quote from one of the fathers says, one of the reasons that we fast for many days during great and holy Lent is in fact the need for each of us to become hungry. This is why we fast, and to become hungry on purpose. That's why if there's zero abstaining from food and drink, at least for a portion of your day, you're missing the point. It's not a lifestyle change. It's not that I've decided I'm going to be vegan till May 5th. You're missing the point. The boat left without you. Start swimming and catch up, because it wasn't about that at all. It's on purpose to become hungry. Why? This becomes increasingly difficult in a world of abundance, of course, because all around us there's food and drink, right? Stores and whatever. But the Gospels teach us of the need to fast. The Lord said, this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. What kind? Is it only the demons the Lord is able to cast out? Is it to move mountains? It's much more than that. It's to cast out of my heart that selfish ambition, those selfish desires, the me, myself, and I mentality. To cast out of my heart all these things. Just like the Lord emptied himself and made himself of no reputation and took the form of man, died on the cross, descended into Hades to rise from the dead, to raise man from the death of sin, to ascend into the kingdom, back where he comes from, to his throne, to send us the Holy Spirit. This is the mindset, the mind of Christ. The church fathers understood that physical hunger would help awaken our deeper and more profound spiritual hunger. There's a spiritual hunger in your heart. Tap into it. Confront it. Face it. Don't be afraid of it. Acknowledge it. Come face to face with it and see, what is it that you're hungering for deep in your heart? Think of it. What is it? What is it in your heart? It's not the cup of coffee. Your soul is not craving a cup of coffee right now. I promise you. Your soul is not craving a sandwich right now. Your soul is craving greater things than sandwiches and coffee right now. This is what fasting is for. To tap into that real hunger and figure out what it is and ultimately reach Jesus at the depth of your heart, where he's been waiting and gently tapping on the door of your heart since you were born. This young man fasted involuntarily, and through this involuntary fasting, his senses were awakened. When he was sitting there with the pigs on the floor, dirty by mud and mire and all kinds of stuff, his senses were, he was hungry, and he realized, what have I, it says, when he came to himself, he woke up, he says, what am I doing? In other words, it's as if he looked at himself in the mirror of his own reality, and said, what am I doing here? Sitting on the ground with pigs? What am I doing? Let me go back to my father. His servants have bread to eat and left over. And I perish out here with hunger with pigs. I'm going to arise and go to my father. Through his hunger, his senses were awakened, and he went back to the real treasure, his father. He came to himself. He understood his reality. His heart was opened, and he missed his father. He missed his father's home and all that he once had taken for granted. He had taken his father for granted. How many times a day do we get to say, our Father who art in heaven? How many times do we get to say that? What a privilege we have that we can call him the creator of the universe, our father, my daddy. So why St. Paul says the Holy Spirit intercedes in our heart by groanings which cannot be uttered, that he cries out through our heart, through us, Abba, Father. Abba is that endearment term for daddy, papa, papi. It's an endearment. If only the world would realize this. And this is why our Lord said this in the Beatitudes, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you begin to hunger and thirst for righteousness, it won't matter if you're eating vegan or not vegan. It won't matter. None of this will matter anymore. It will not even cross your mind anymore, because your appetite is hungering for greater things, and the Lord is satisfying that longing in your heart, so that you won't want Lent to finish because you're on a different wavelength during Lent. You're going to be dreading losing that wavelength when the 50 days come upon us in Easter. You're going to be thinking, I want to keep that treasure I had. I don't want to lose what I gained. I don't want to take for granted my Father. When we say, give us this day our daily bread, it's not just the daily bread, the sustenance of the day, bread, food, lunch, dinner. It's our eternal bread, the Eucharist that we receive gratefully and thankfully, preparing us for eternal life. And give us this day our eternal life. This is not what the Lord said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Come to him and believe in him. Tell yourself, Lord, help me come to you and believe in you, that my soul may be finding what it's been searching for, that I may not settle for food and drink. Food and drink will be just to keep my body running till it's time to join you in the kingdom again. The Lord said, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill and destroy. The thief is who? The demon, the devils. He comes to steal this from your mind, from your heart. He comes to kill any desire for spiritual growth in your heart. He comes to destroy any spiritual effort you're trying to make. Let him try. He will not succeed, because the Lord has come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly, to have an abundant living. An abundant living that is beyond what the older son had back home with his dad and his goats, and the younger son who lost it all and came back and found everything in his father, in his father's arms. Yearn for this, pray for this. Say, Lord Jesus, inflame my heart with desire for you, with love for you. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.